You're listening to the Cornerstone Word of Life Church podcast. We hope you enjoyed this teaching from Pastor Rhonda. For more information on our church, please visit cwol.org.
Well, how's everybody this fine evening? Good, good, good. You know, when I started this, I had no idea this would be part eight. I was thinking maybe a week or two and I could get them all in, but it seemed like as I'd look at them, they just kind of develop and expand and unfold. And so we've been taking our time going through it. So we're going to talk for the last one in this series about signs of the last days. So before we turn to the word, let's pray. Father, we come before you right now in Jesus' name. Father, I thank you for the great Holy Spirit, who is our teacher, our guide, our standby, our helper. Father, I acknowledge my dependence upon the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, I ask you to think through my mind, to speak through my lips. I thank you for unction and anointing in Jesus' name. I thank you that the hearers have eyes that see and ears that hear and hearts that truly understand. Father, I thank you that your word is important and the things that you said to us about this time in history, they're important, Father. And so we purpose tonight to give heed to what you're saying, so that we're always in the right place, at the right time, doing the right thing that is pleasing in your sight. And I thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen, amen. Let's read our keynote scripture, 2 Timothy chapter 3, starting at verse 1. It says, "This know also," or in other words, you need to know this, "that in the last days," and we looked at that at the beginning, it's the last of the last days. "In the last days, perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God." Verse 5, "having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. From such, turn away." How many of you know, by inspiration of the Holy Spirit, the Apostle Paul enumerated for us these signs that we should look for? And he said, when they all come together at the same time, then you know that you know you're in the last of the last days. Now, why do we need to know that? Number one, so you're not caught unaware. We know these things are coming or are here, right? We know they're coming or are here. Number two, if you know what season you're in, then you know what's appropriate behavior in that season. How many of you know, even in natural crops, there's a planting season, there's a growing season, and there's a harvesting season. And if you know what season you're in, you know what's appropriate behavior in that season. We want to do what is right for that season to get the highest possible outcome, right? The third reason is because he wanted us to be aware that in the last days, Satan is pushing society in the direction of all the things we just read. How many of you know there are currents in our society like there are in the ocean and in a river? And if we're aware that this current is there, then we know what to look out for so we don't get swept away and caught up in things we ought not get caught up in. All this list is how the world is behaving and how Satan is pushing the world in this direction. And that's stuff we ought to be resisting. Amen? All right. So, tonight we're going to look at the last signpost, which indicates that we are in fact in the last of the last days, at least the last one he enumerated here. And that is that men will have a form of godliness, but deny the power thereof. Are there lots of people in our day who have a form of godliness, but they deny the power of it? There are. There are a lot of people who go to church on Sunday, but they don't believe it really has the power to transform their lives. You know, I was talking to a minister one time, and he said, you know, I don't believe any of that, you know, miracles and healing stuff is still for today. I don't see it in my church. Well, he don't see it because he don't believe it. Do you understand what I'm saying? I think his faith is working really good to keep it out of his church. He said, I don't believe. I just looking at him like, well, it ain't no wonder you don't see it because you don't believe it. How many of you know you believe first and then you see? That's how the scriptures work. We believe and therefore we do see. A lot of people go to church because of all kinds of reasons. You know, people go they feel like it's their religious duty or it's their habit. Or because their mama told them they needed to. I saw this sign on I-65 between Birmingham and Montgomery. Guys, if you can throw that up there. It makes me smile every time I drive by it. The landowner said he wanted to give people something to contemplate as they drove down the interstate. Now, people should go to church, but how many of you know attendance alone is not going to protect you from the onslaught of the enemy? There's a whole lot of people who go to church who still live defeated, ineffective lives, right? You can't read, though, the New Testament without realizing the church was born in great power and demonstration of the Spirit. It was born that way. Acts 10:38. When Jesus came, it says, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. From the time that Jesus was baptized in water and the Holy Ghost came upon him, he stepped out in demonstrations of power through signs, wonders, and miracles. Now listen, those demonstrations didn't start until he was baptized. We don't see Jesus, despite what the cartoonists like to draw, you know, sitting in a wading pool, dividing the waters, or, you know, walking on his pool, or he didn't do that as a kid, okay? There's nothing anywhere in the Bible that says Jesus healed bird wings and all the other stuff that people have said. The miracles didn't start until he got water baptized and the Holy Ghost descended upon him. His entire earthly ministry was walked out, though, in great power and demonstration of the Spirit. You only need to read the Gospels to know that's so. Are you with me? He healed the sick. He raised the dead. He was a worker of great miracles. Let's read Acts 10:38, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of. Where does sickness come from? He said he went about healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. Verse 39, and we are witnesses of all things which he did, both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem, whom they slew and hanged on a tree. But him God raised up the third day and showed him openly. Listen, even after they crucified him, his supernatural showing of power was not abated. He was raised up out of that tomb. He was raised from the dead. And the book of Ephesians calls it one of the greatest demonstrations of power the world has ever seen. How many of you know that took a lot of power for God to reach his hand into the belly of hell and bring Jesus up? Ephesians 1:15. For this reason, ever since I heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, I have not stopped giving thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers. I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. I pray also that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened, that you may know the hope to which he has called you. How many of you know we are called to hope? There's a hope to which we've been called. The riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints. We have a glorious inheritance. We have a glorious inheritance. And his incomparably great power for us who believe. We have incomparably great power for us who believe. He goes on to say that power is like the working of his mighty strength, which he exerted in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly realms. But you know what? He didn't just raise him up out of the grave. He set him, verse 21 says, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion and every title that can be given. He's above the name of cancer. He's above the name of diabetes. He's above the name of flu. He's above the name of any bad thing the devil can put on you. I mean, you read back there in Deuteronomy 28 of all the stuff we've been delivered from. He said, if you would obey me, none of these curses would come upon you. Back there it talks about, but if you don't obey me, all these curses will come upon you. But we know we've been delivered from the bad stuff because of the blood of Jesus. Galatians tells us that. I mean, he talks about all kinds of sicknesses back there, enumerates them all out. You wouldn't even have to know what the botch of Egypt is to know you don't want it. I don't know what some of that stuff is back there, but everything that's been named, we're above it. We're above it because we're seated in him and he's above it. I tell you, when God raised him up, he didn't just raise him up a little bit. He didn't just raise him up back to the earth. He set him. He came here for a little while, but then he took his place far above. Far above. Not a little above. You know, some people think, you know, God and the devil are in a wrestling match and you never know on which day which one of them might win. How many of you know that ain't so? It's not so. I'll try to use more proper language. He is now seated far above all rule and authority and power and dominion and every title that can be given, not only in the present age, but also in the one to come. And God placed all things under his feet and appointed him to be head over everything for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills everything in every way. Raising Jesus from the dead was a mighty work of power, but the power of the early church didn't just end there with Jesus. In Acts 1:8, Jesus said to his disciples, "But you shall receive power." You shall receive power. You shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And you shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. He not only had the power, now he's given it to his disciples. Did it work? Acts 4:33. And with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. If you read the book of Acts, you see that the apostles flowed in great power, in signs, wonders, and miracles as a regular occurrence. That's how they lived. That's how they lived. Listen, I was telling the Chile ministers, we don't seek supernatural signs. We're not just looking for supernatural demonstrations, because there's a whole nother supernatural entity that could accommodate you on some things. Are you with me? We're not seeking the supernatural. We're seeking him. But you can't be full of a supernatural God without supernatural things happening. You can't be in fellowship every day with a supernatural God without that supernatural power just eking out of you everywhere you go and everything you do. We don't seek the supernatural follows us everywhere we go and everything we do. On your job, you bring him. At the grocery, you bring him. I tell you, when Pastor Belinda was at our house after she had had something done, and she was at our house recovering, and we went out on the back porch to watch them cut some trees out of our backyard that had died. And all of a sudden, the tree trimmer, he was like, you know, my heart. And he was like, you know, gasping for air. And I mean, it was, you know, kind of a freaky thing. And so I ran in and got him an aspirin, but I also laid hands on him. I said, I'm going to call 911, but first I'm going to lay hands on you really fast. And I prayed for him. I commanded that to stop. I commanded him to be healed. And then I ran to call. All right. But in the meantime, when I got back, he was better. And he said, I know you're not going to believe this. But he said, when you prayed, I felt something. He said, when you prayed, I felt something in my body. And the pain abated, and I'm better. And he didn't even have to go. He didn't even have to do anything. Glory to God. I tell you, you can have the supernatural power of God sitting on your back patio. If some neighbor happens across you that needs something. We are full of the supernatural power of God. With great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection and of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. But it didn't end there. I want us to look again at Ephesians 1. Ephesians 1:18. I pray also that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened. We just read this a minute ago. In order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, and his incomparably great power for us who believe. Then he goes on to liken the power that's in us to believe to the very power that raised Jesus from the dead. That same power that reached into hell and brought Jesus up, much to the chagrin of all of hell. Although I think by that time they wanted him out of there. That same power is the power in you. Ha ha. That's powerful power. I want us to look at it in the Amplified. And so that you can know and understand Amplified Classic, what is the immeasurable, it's beyond measure, the degree of power that's on the inside of you. It's beyond measure, unlimited. There's no limit to it. There's no limit to it. Surpassing, which means above all, greatness of his power that's both in us and for us who believe. Listen, it's both in you and for you. It's in you where others can partake, but it's also for you for whatever's going on in your life. Glory to God. You are a river. Now we have rivers of living water. You had a well of salvation, but when you got full of the Holy Ghost, those rivers of living water began to come out of you, and they're there for others to partake of. You are a carrier of the glory and the power of God everywhere you go. I preached myself happy. What is the immeasurable and unlimited and surpassing greatness of his power in and for us who believe, as demonstrated in the working of his mighty strength? And it goes on to talk about the raising of the dead. But the only qualification for having that power in you and for you is what? Read it. So that you can know and understand what is the immeasurable, unlimited, and surpassing greatness of his power in and for us who?
Believe.
In and for us who believe. That's the only qualification. In and for us who believe. You got to believe. Mark 16:17. And these signs shall follow them that?
Believe.
believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. Glory to God. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. Not intentionally, I don't think. Not here anyway. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall, in case anybody was wondering. If they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. And they shall. Shall is the strongest word in the English language. They shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. You're supposed to be laying your hands on the sick. He has loaded you up with his power. You are a walking, talking dispenser of the power of God. Listen, when I first was ministering, I always hesitated to lay hands on people because I wasn't very confident. So when it came to that, I would always say, you know, you come over here and lay hands on. And I just kind of agree. All right? But the thing is, after a while, when I started getting a little more confidence, I realized I'm just the jumper cable. I mean, jumper cable's about as dumb as you can get, right? They don't have any extraordinary ability. But they were created. They were designed to transmit the power from one thing to another. Well, guess what? You don't have to be the smartest person on the block. You don't have to be the best at anything. You got to believe. You got to believe that when you lay your hands on the sick, God's going to come through, not because you're anything, but because he's everything. I had to get to the point where I realized it wasn't about me. I'm just a jumper cable. I can be a jumper cable. Father, I believe when I lay my hands on their head, you're going to flow into them. It's you, Father. It's not me. I don't have to work anything up. I don't have to do the funky chicken first. Or, you know what? I don't have to feel goosebumps down my back to know I got it. I could lay hands on people when I felt a tangible anointing, and there were times I ministered that way. But I realized I could lay hands eventually, that I could lay hands on in faith because I'm just a jumper cable. Whether I feel it or not is irrelevant. He said believers. How many believers are in the house? Believers would lay hands on the sick and they would recover. Some will get instantaneous healings. Some will recover. Either way, recovered is better than sick. Amen? You're a walking, talking carrier of the power of God. The only qualification is you got to believe. I tell you, Mark 16:17, these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. And they shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. Listen, that doesn't sound like a powerless group of believers to me. Does that sound like powerless people? I don't understand why people insist that the power of God is no longer available for the church today. That is totally contrary to Scripture, and to be quite honest, totally contrary to what we as believers are experiencing today, right here, right now, 2018, Cornerstone Word of Life Church in Madison, Alabama. It's not our experience. God never promised us a dead, dry religion. He didn't promise us a lifeless church with endless liturgical formalities. No, he promised us a relationship with him. And he promised to give us his power to anyone who would believe. And I am so glad. As I was preparing this afternoon, I just said, Father, I'm so grateful for the forefathers that went before me. The fact that I was raised in Pentecost. The fact that I grew up knowing and seeing the power of God in demonstration. You know, when when we first started the church and people would come and they wouldn't understand the power and they wouldn't stick. And I used to be, why? What? And Pastor Mark said, you know, Rhonda, you grew up in this. You have to understand that for those who didn't, he didn't grow up in it. You know, it takes a little bit of getting used to. If you've not seen it, but how many of you know your spirit will bear witness that this is God long before your brain will understand it? But I'm so grateful, not for those who brought it to me, but beyond that, I am so grateful that now we're taking it to an entire generation. We have children in elementary school laying hands on their peers for healing and believing their guts out that the power of God is going to heal them. We have had children lay hands on adults and they be instantly healed. Adults who might not let another adult pray for them. But it's hard to refuse a child who wants to pray for you. God promised his power to them that believe. And that's us. That's us. That's us. We're experiencing his power here today in much the same way as the early church did. I was thinking about it this afternoon. You know, when Annie Durant was here, she was has stepped into something extraordinary. Matter of fact, we may have her in again before too long. But she stepped into extraordinary signs, wonders, and miracles, healings, like God prophesied over her years ago she would step into. How many of you were here for those meetings? Pastor was in Nepal last year somewhere. Yes, last year. We had, I don't know, maybe a couple hundred people in the service. And she laid hands on almost every one of them. And I think almost every one of them had a change in their body of some sort. How many of you got ministered to that night? Had a change in your body? One of the testimonies I got that really touched me that night was of Noah Madkins. He got in line because he'd injured his knee. And not only did his knee get healed, but he told me, even this afternoon when I was asking him about it, he said when he opened his eyes, things were kind of blurry for a second. You know how they could be, if, you know, you're pressed on your eyes or something happened, you know, sometimes you may have to take a minute to focus. But he said all of a sudden, everything was more beautiful than he'd ever seen it before. God healed him of color blindness. He didn't even ask for that. He that's not even why he came up here. That was just an add-on bonus. God said, as long as I got you here in the power, let me take care of that too, son. If you've never seen the color of a tree, if you've never seen the... it still almost makes me want to cry. I'm a mama of everybody, I guess. But just touched my heart that God would do that for him. It's not even what he came up there for. He healed him of what he came up there for, but he threw in and added something. Not only that, Miss Nadra up here recently gave testimony of how God healed her of chronic pain in her body that had been there for a long time due to an injury to her spine. She was in chronic pain. It hurt her every day. It hurt her every day, everywhere she went, everything she did. It got to the point at points where it was almost hard for her to function. And God supernaturally healed her one night. I mean, the power of God hit her. She came expecting that night, though. She came believing that she was leaving with something from God with her back. How many of you were in that service? The power of God hit her. She took off running around the building, shouting and dancing the glory of God all over her, and came up healed. Glory to God. That's awesome. I know Jeff and Agatha. They have two, not one, but two miracle babies. She does not have the proper equipment. Am I telling the truth? That's her sister. And she got not one, But two. Miracle babies. How many of you have experienced the power of God in your body, affecting a healing and a cure, touching you, bringing you through? Glory to God. I tell you, He is still a miracle working God. I don't understand people who say it's all passed away and we're content to just come here and chant or come here and repeat stuff or do whatever people do where the power of God's not in demonstration. I don't know what they do. I don't get out much. But I don't understand people who say it's all passed away. Because I assure you, most assuredly, it is not. It is not. He said, in the last days, there would be people who held to a form of godliness, but denied the power thereof. We are not among them. But make no mistake, there is a current in our society trying to push us that way. Oh, y'all are just fanatical. Y'all are just imagining all that. You know what? My mind does not have the power. I have wished myself well and nothing happened. Do you understand? Wishing don't fix it. Wanting doesn't fix it. Faith and belief in the Almighty God and His current power to heal fixes it. That's one of the things I love most about my husband. Not most. It's one of the things I love about my husband. I could give you the list of my most, but I don't know if I should. We'll be here the rest of the night. I really do mean it, but from day one, he has pressed and has contended for the power of God to be in manifestation in our services. He is not willing for us or this church to fall into dead, dry religion. He wants the power of God. He strives after it. He's asked for it. He prays for it. He believes for it. He actively uses his power. I mean, there were points at which, you know, it seemed like as the church was growing at points, it's something we could have let go, but he's not willing. And I am grateful. Because I want all God has. I want all God has. I was laughing, we were at a ministers meeting we were at a meeting with a bunch of ministers. And one of the ministers said from the pulpit, he said, if I ever want to know if the Holy Ghost is moving, I look for Mark Garver. Because if the Holy Ghost is moving, he's in. He's been on a lifelong journey contending for the glory of God to be in manifestation in the churches in our day and age. And because he's contended for it, and because the elders of the church put it into us, that it was available to us and taught us how to access the power of God and how to believe for it, we're all partaking of the glory of God. We're all partaking of the power of God. And I feel bad for those who do without. It's not how he intended it to be. The power of God is still available today for those who believe. The baptism of the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking in other tongues is still available today. It's still available today. You can talk in tongues tonight if you want to. It's still available today. And with that comes power. Let's look again at Acts chapter 1, verse 8. But you shall receive tongues. No, the tongues is just proof that you got it. Tongues is just the evidence of what's already happened in here. No, he said, you shall receive power. Glory to God. Woo! After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And you shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. You shall receive power. The baptism of the Holy Ghost brings the power of God into our lives in an even greater way and makes it available through us to other people. It's the power to be a witness. It's the power to pray out mysteries and secrets. You know, I love seeing kids get filled with the Holy Ghost. You know, we had a child one Sunday who was coming up from the nursery. That means he was just four probably that week. Just four. And our children's church teacher decided that she was going to get him born again if he wasn't born again and get him filled with the Holy Ghost on his first day in kinder church at four. So she told him about the plan of salvation. She led him in a sinner's prayer. She laid hands on him. And at 4 years old, he took off talking in tongues. And when his dad came to get him that day, the teacher said, guess what happened to your son today? He not only received Jesus, but he got filled with the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking in other tongues. And his dad didn't believe her. So when he got home with the child, he says, son, let's pray in the Holy Ghost. And he said, okay. He took off in tongues. That dad's jaw hit the floor. He said, I could tell it was a real language. He wasn't just making noises. It was a real language. He really did get filled with the Holy Ghost at 4 years of age. How many of you know kids do not have a junior spirit? They're just spirit beings. And from the moment they can understand and believe and receive, they can partake. And they do. Glory to God. One of the things that we tell the children is speaking in tongues is like a secret language, like a spy uses. But it's just between you and God. And when you pray in the Holy Ghost, the devil can't understand you. So you can pray perfectly, and he don't even know what you're talking about. How many of you know being able to talk in a super secret language is appealing? It should be appealing even for us. I've often wondered, you know, sometimes when we pray and then we take off in tongues, are we saying, Lord, don't listen to me earlier? You know what I'm saying? We want your highest and best no matter what it is we're saying we really want. No, I'm just kidding. I don't know what we're praying. But how many of you know being able to pray out secrets of God, being able to pray out mysteries that you need answers to in your life is a very valuable tool. I heard in one closed country, they never announced where their meetings were. Everybody had to pray and get it by the Holy Ghost and just show up somewhere. I don't weed out the reels from the fakes. Maybe we should try that. No, I'm just kidding. So the baptism of the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking in other tongues is still available today. And with that comes power. The power of God to supernaturally heal bodies is still in manifestation today. The power of God that works miracles is still in manifestation today. This is not a dead, lifeless religion. In fact, I don't believe Christianity was ever meant to be a religion. It's a relationship between the Creator and His beloved children. It's meant to be a relationship, not a religion. And I think one of the saddest things for me as a pastor is people who never get beyond the religion to the relationship. Listen, he is real, and you can know him, and you can have a real relationship with him. He wants to walk with you and talk with you and share your life with you and give you supernatural power in your everyday life. This is not a dead, lifeless religion, but our everyday lives should reflect the power of God that's still available for those who believe. How many believers do we have here tonight? Glory of God. We are not of those who hold to a form of godliness but deny the power thereof. But there are an awful lot of people around us who do it. It's one of the signs that we are in the last of the last days. It's a form of godliness. It looks like godliness, but it's just ritual and habit and rote things that God never meant for it to be. Listen, it's not a list of rules and regulations. It's not a list of rules and regulations. It's a relationship with a living being who loves you. I want us to read our keynote scriptures that we've gone over in this series out of the Message Bible. Again, the Message Bible is just a paraphrase, and I don't recommend you studying it, but sometimes he says things in just the way that we can get it, because it's in really modern language. 2 Timothy 3:1 out of the Message. He said, "Don't be naive. There are difficult times ahead. As the end approaches, people are going to be self-absorbed, money-hungry, self-promoting, stuck-up, profane, contemptuous of parents, crude, coarse, dog-eat-dog, unbending, slanderers, impulsively wild, savage, cynical, treacherous, ruthless, bloated windbags, addicted to lust and allergic to God. They'll make a show of religion, but behind the scenes, they're animals. Stay clear of these people." Now I want us to read it out of the Amplified Classic. "But understand this, that in the last days will come or set in perilous times of great stress and trouble, hard to deal with and hard to bear. For people will be lovers of self and utterly self-centered, lovers of money and aroused by an inordinate, greedy desire for wealth, proud and arrogant and contemptuous boasters. They will be abusive, blasphemous, and scoffing, disobedient to parents, ungrateful, unholy, and profane. They will be without natural human affection, callous and inhuman, relentless, admitting of no truce or appeasement. They will be slanderers, false accusers, troublemakers, intemperate and loose in morals and conduct, uncontrolled and fierce, haters of good. They will be treacherous betrayers, rash and inflated with self-conceit. They will be lovers of sensual pleasures and vain amusements more than and rather than lovers of God. For although they hold a form of piety, true religion, they deny and reject and are strangers to the power of it. Their conduct belies the genuineness of their profession. Avoid all such people. Turn away from them." These are all signs that we're in the last of the last days. Signs on the side of the road either tell us what's coming ahead or where we currently are. Now, do these signs exist altogether in our day? They do. That tells us that we are in the last of the last days. And in future weeks, sometime in the future, we're going to talk about what that means to us. Now that we know we're in the last of the last days, we've looked for the signs and they're here. Now we know where we are in time. Now what does that mean for us? Well, we're going to talk about that in the coming weeks. Glory to God. We're going to take a little break, but then we're going to come back to it, you know, shortly. All right? Because we need to know how we're supposed to be conducting ourselves, right? I tell you, God has loaded you up with His Word. He's loaded you up with a spirit of faith, and you're ready for whatever the world or the devil throws at you. Amen? It is time for the church to arise. It is time for the church to be the church. The Bible even says nature itself groans, waiting for the revealing of the sons of God. Even nature wants you to take your place. We've got stuff this world needs, whether they realize it or not, we do. Listen, one of the signs is that people will hold to a form of godliness, but deny the power thereof. And I'm glad to say, not here. We want His power. In full manifestation and demonstration, He can show up here and do whatever He wants, anytime He wants. He is the head of the church, and He's the head of this church, and therefore, this is His house. He can do what He wants. Because it's just how it is. Well, Father, I thank You that You brought us to the place where we came to realize that You desire to show us Your power. Father, You've taught us how to stand in faith. You've taught us the truths of Your Word. And now, Father, I thank You that in the weeks ahead, as we look at what we're now supposed to be doing in this time, that You unfold the Word to us like marching orders from the commander-in-chief of where we are and what we are to do in these, the last hours of the church. And I thank You for it. And Father, as these people go, I thank You that You remind them every day that You, the life giver, the miracle worker, the healer, You, the power of God, rests on the inside of them. As much power as it took to raise Jesus from the dead, that very same power dwells in them everywhere they go, everything they do. We are not powerless. We are not helpless. We are not hopeless because we have You. And You're the God of all power. You're the God of all hope. And I thank You. You're with us always. Everywhere we go, the power is available to demonstrate and confirm the resurrection of Jesus Christ, that He is alive, and our lives prove it. And we thank You for it in Jesus' name.
We hope you're inspired by today's message. If you want to hear more from the Word of God, head over to cwol.org. Check us out on YouTube or any social platform under @CWALMadison. We believe God is working within you, and we want you to know Him so you too can make Him known.